CheersCast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
Now explain this to me. If the winner is going to get a kiss from Rebecca, what does the loser get?
Kiss from them.
And of course, there is no loser.
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of CheersCast, a podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me again from the Front Row Network is returning guest, Brandon Davis. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, Ryan. Thanks so much for having me again. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming back.
Absolutely. I always love talking Cheers.
We are the penultimate episode of season 6, folks. We are almost done with the season. And this is a good one too. As I said, season 6, episode 24, The Big Kiss Off. This one is written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, April 28th, 1988. A wayward compliment from Rebecca reveals Woody's crush on the boss. The gang make fun of him, but Woody insists he has a better chance with Rebecca than Sam does. Sam takes the challenge, and the two bartenders agree to a wager to see who can get a 3-second kiss from Rebecca before closing time that night. When Carla reminds Sam that he's not as young and desirable as he used to be, he resorts to trickery, pretending to choke on a cherry, asking Rebecca to perform mouth-to-mouth. Shockingly, that plan fails. Woody asks Rebecca to rehearse a scene from a play he's auditioning for, a scene which happens to feature a kiss between the two characters, but Sam interrupts the rehearsal before they can kiss. Later, Woody tries to hypnotize Rebecca and ends up putting himself to sleep. After Sam comes in dressed in an army uniform, hoping for a kiss before he ships out overseas, Rebecca confronts Carla to learn the truth about the contest. Rebecca corners Sam and Woody each individually and tells them she wants them to win. That night, Sam returns after changing out of his uniform to find the bar almost empty. He goes into Rebecca's darkened office to kiss her on the couch, but when the lights go up, Sam and Woody are kissing each other with the whole gang watching and laughing. All right, buddy. What did you think about this episode?
Oh, man, this is a great one. I think this is sort of, you know, season 6, in my opinion, is always a season that I enjoy, but you can tell they're really trying to warm up the chemistry of the new setup here. And to me, this is the point when everything really starts clicking and the Rebecca Howe era is really here. And this to me is just one of those great examples. I listened to an interview that Jim Burrows did with the Television Academy. Me and they asked him about his favorite episodes of Cheers, and he said, you know, it's impossible to pick a favorite, but off the top of his head, he said of the Diane years, it was the Diane's Perfect Date with Andy, and of the Rebecca and of the Rebecca years, it was this one, because he just loved the premise of it. And so I thought, you know, this feels like a classic Cheers episode, because we never leave the bar, it's a fun premise, and you get the whole cast involved.
It's funny. I remember for a couple of years after this happened, like, I remember not liking this episode for one particular moment. And it's later on in the episode when Woody and Sam are actually kind of mad at each other, when they're kind of like thrown back at each other and they seem to be like actually antagonistic, and like the contest is getting to the better of them. And I remember like watching this as a kid thinking, I was like, no, I don't, these are the heroes. I don't want them to be mad at each other.
Right.
I think this very sort of selfish, like, no, this is the family. You're supposed to love each other. You can make fun of each other, but don't get mad at each other. And then like, just like the fact that they were upset over this thing really made me kind of uncomfortable in this weird kind of way when I was a kid. And then eventually I just kind of got over it. I was like, okay, it's temporary. It's just for the sake of the gags. And then I just think like the actual premise of this and how funny the gags are. Like, no, this is definitely one of the stronger episodes of the season. if not, yeah, of all the Rebecca years, yeah.
Well, and I think you mentioned that. I think this is really sort of, we're starting to see Sam and Woody's relationship develop a little bit more. You know, two seasons ago when Woody first joined, we never would have seen any kind of spat between the two of them. But now they're really starting to become more like brothers. And so they do have mm-hmm. these spats every once in a while, and this sort of competitive nature of the older brother and the younger brother.
Right. They also, I think there was perhaps a thought when Woody first joined of not only giving Sam a younger brother, but there were a couple of episodes early on where they kind of teased, hey, is Woody a competition for Sam in terms of who's the bigger ladies' man? Because Woody's, you know, fresh, young off the farm. He's mm-hmm. younger, he's stronger. He's just like, he's got that kind of vulnerable kid quality. Is that going to be something that's like, you know, becomes a problem for Sam? And they did tease that a little bit in the first couple of seasons, but I think they quickly said that's not really where the comedy is. So I think this might be almost like the last vestige of that, the last time they really kind of consider that type of thing.
True. Yes.
As the episode starts off, Frasier comes into the bar in the teaser. Frasier comes in and he is visibly unwell. We find out that he is hungover from the night before. And it really is, considering the nature of the show and it's set in a bar and the guys are sitting around drinking out of it, they don't really deal with the consequences of alcohol very often. I mean, obviously you want to keep the show light and funny, so you really can't deal with the effects of alcohol in a series better that much. But it's like from time to time, and it's maybe like I could maybe count on one hand how many times they actually talk about the characters getting like too drunk that they get sick or hungover or something. And it does seem like it's usually Frasier they put in these positions. And maybe it was just because Kelsey Grammer could really play it off really well and still be funny about it because he's so uptight.
Yeah. And also, you know, I thought about it. You mentioned, yeah, they don't really discuss the consequences of alcohol very much. Of course, in a very famous episode in the 11th season and involving mm-hmm. Carla, they do that, and probably the most famous right. example, but rare do we get episodes or moments like this, and they're kind of refreshing when they do happen.
That episode has, I think, a line from Frasier that might be it's like my second favorite show in the entire series, my second favorite line of dialogue yes. in the entire series, but I'll come to that mm-hmm. down the road when I get to there. Mm-hmm. He says he can't remember how he got that drunk. And Norm was like, yeah, man, you were really gone. You started mocking a longshoreman. He's like, you were challenging him to a fight. You were saying something like unions are for suckers or something. And Frasier was like, what are you crazy? I actually did that. And he's like, yeah, you challenged him to a fight. He's like, well, what happened? He's like, well, you said you wanted to, you wanted to fight him later on when there was a bigger crowd. So you were like, yeah, you're challenging him right about now. And Frasier immediately like bolts. Like, he's like, wait a minute. There's some guy about to kick my ass. And he's coming here now. And so Frasier's ready to run out of there. And he's like, he's moving like lightning. And Norm calms him down. He's like, no. He's like, that's not him. And Frasier's like, why did you scare me like that? He's like, it's my hangover cure. And he's like, well, it didn't work for me. He's like, well, Norm's like, mine is completely gone now.
It's great because it's one of those, it's another reminder that Frasier is now firmly entrenched as a member of the gang. He'll always kind of be a little bit of the outsider just because of his, you know, pomposity, but still, yeah, he's fully entrenched now. He's one of the family.
Yeah, and they know. They know what Frasier's weakness is. They know how susceptible he is to things like this. In the same way they could get Cliff for something like that. You know, they know each other that well. And it's funny because you're right, because at this point, Frasier's in on it. When Norm is saying, it's like, my hangover's gone. Like, Frasier is actually smiling about it. He's like, yeah, you got me. This was a good gag. Like, season three or four, Frasier might have been a little bit more put out by this. Absolutely. But this time he's just like, oh yeah, that's funny. So. Okay, so then back into the episode, Woody is carrying like a box or something. Rebecca compliments his new shirt, and she's like, yeah, you look kind of cute. And he starts to stammer, like, me? What? You? Well, you think I'm cute? And she's like, I did before you opened your mouth, basically. And this is, you know, Sam and the guys kind of notice that Woody's, you know, got a little bit of a crush on her. And he says he would go after her if not for her attraction to Evan Drake, as if that's the one thing stopping him.
Right.
And Carla's got a great little dig. She's like, listen to your rhinestone cow pie.
Cow pie. And I always crack up whenever she, you know, makes references to hometown. She likes to use the term tabacky a lot whenever she.
Yeah.
Tabacky. That's a good one. Tabacky flat. Yeah, is what she.
Right. Tabacky flat. That's his old stomping ground. Yeah, and then they're like, well, you know, I think we think she said you're cute the way, you know, a like puppy dog is cute. And Woody doesn't see anything wrong with that. He's like, yeah, so. But
and then they all start howling.
Exactly, exactly. And they don't think that he could get to first base. And he's like, I'm going to get a home run. And his idea of home run is a kiss. He's like, well, what else could it be? And Sam's like, you could go all the way. And he's like, you mean marry her? Now, again, I don't know if it was before or after I saw this episode, but I was a kid when this episode came out. And I remember, like, the first time I was aware of this concept of, like, getting with a member of the opposite sex or, like, scoring or something and putting it into this baseball analogy, I think the way it was explained to me in kindergarten, maybe, first grade or something, it was hugging was first base, kissing was second base. Sex, in as much as I knew what that was third base.
Right.
And marriage was a home run. Like those, that was like the progression of things you did in a relationship with the opposite sex. So I was like, okay, yeah, I was kind of like on Woody's side here.
Yeah, that makes sense. I grew up, yeah, thinking of that way too as well. So it does kind of ring true, especially if you grew up in the Midwest like I did. I live just a state over from where Woody grew up. So.
Exactly, me too. Yeah, same thing, Illinois. But so yeah, it must have been something about the way we were taught. We had a different idea of baseball. The guys, Norman Cliff, and they start taking bets on if Woody can get a kiss. And Sam, like, well, yeah, he's got a better chance than Sammy. And Sam takes that as a challenge. So they come up with this wager, this contest, who can kiss Rebecca? And Carl's like, it's got to be for a three count. Like, she, like, pounds the bar before midnight. And Carla has to witness it. And, like, well, if the winner gets a kiss from Rebecca, what does the loser get? And they're like, it's a kiss from Norm. And he's like, well, then there is no loser.
And that's such a great line, because I always think, you know, we think of Norm somehow, maybe he would not very much care for that comment, but he leans into it. And that's what I appreciate so much.
Yeah. No, yeah. We've come a long way from the boys in the bar in season one. So.
Right.
And I'll come back to that later on at the end of this episode, too. But yeah, then we have a bit of a scene break to kind of like change up. It's a little bit later, and to kind of accentuate that, there's like, they're not part of the scene at all. It's like, there's this whole thing with Carla and Sam talking at one side of the bar, but Norm and Cliff are in the background. And it's one of the few times where they're not at their corner of the bar. They're up in the back of the bar by Tecumseh, or not Tecumseh, or yeah, by the, no, the, not Tecumseh. It's by the painting of Geronimo and a piano, kind of in that back little alcove. And there's like another couple, there's a man and woman there, and Norman Cliff are talking to them, and it's like, it has nothing to do with the scene, and I almost missed it, but I just kind of looked, I was like, what are they doing back there? Like, why would they go up there? Like, why are they just like hanging out back there, having a conversation with these strangers? It must have just been something that like Jim Burrows just wanted for the scene to kind of like push them somewhere else. But it was just weird because you hardly ever see them in another station. Yeah.
Well, and it's also a nice glimpse to where, you know, we see this sort of central small community of these Cheers regulars. But every once in a while, you get a glimpse through the blocking or whatever that, you know, there's a lot more Cheers regulars than what we see. We just get to focus on these people. So it's nice to see, you know, them interacting with, you know, hey, maybe they do know these people. We just never get to see them interact with them.
Right. Yeah. And this one, like, you know, this one does have, you know, some interactions from those tertiary bar guys at this point, you know,
right.
We got like Pete and Hugh and some of these other guys that we see all the time. Yeah. Carla tells Sammy that he, you know, he's lost a step. He's not the sexy young bartender that people come to Cheers to see anymore. That's Woody now. And she's like, when you get older, you have to work harder or date uglier. And Sam starts to get kind of nervous about this. He's actually thinking about it. So he approaches Rebecca while she's doing the inventory, and he pretends to choke on a cherry. And he's like, and she's like, somebody like, hell, I'll pound it out of your bag. He's like, no, I need mouth to mouth. Like, he can actually say this while he's choking. And as it goes down on the ground, she's like, who knows mouth to mouth? And bless him, he's been like, he's the unsung MVP, I think, of this whole season.
Oh.
Because they've given him so much to do. But it's Al. Al comes out of the distance, just goes, I do, I do. Sam springs off like a shot. He says, like, oh, he's like, nope, nope, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. So
it, I don't care where you plug Al in, it's never enough Al. And he's comedy gold every time you use him.
He is. He is. Yeah. He did get my MVP in last episode. Sir.
Yes.
So, yeah. But, yeah, they, I like the way they use him. And then Woody comes in and he seems kind of down. And Rebecca asks, what's wrong? He's like, you wouldn't want to know. He's like, yes, I would. And they do this back and forth thing. And she's like, and he like keeps putting it off. And she's like, when was the last time someone struck you? It's like, so Woody says that he's trying out for this play bus station. And she's like, you mean bus stop? He's like, oh, great. I'm never going to get it. Can't even think. So Sam is like, Woody will be so distracted by this play, he won't even be focused on the contest. And Carla, well, at least his memory loss isn't from senility, because Carla's smart enough to know that this is part of the game. And Woody asks Rebecca to help him rehearse the scene in her office. Carla goes in as the audience / witness. So Woody describes his character as a wayward young rodeo buck, and Rebecca is a sexy cheerleader. And she's like, okay, where do we start? He's like, right here before it says they kiss. And he's like, and oh man, I'm gonna like, this is so like very, I'm trying to think now if this is even, this really might be my home run of the episode. I'm gonna have to call it. But when Woody starts to read, when Woody starts to read the dialogue, when he just goes, oh. Oh, golly. Like the way he reads the lines. He's just so stupid. And I love the fact that an actor can play somebody pretending to act and be so bad at it.
Absolutely.
An amazing testament to Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah, his performance. But what I also appreciate just from a writing standpoint is, you know, that certainly some of these lengths that Sam and Woody go to in this episode are crazy, but they started off logistically. I mean, we know Woody acts with the community theater, so that would logically be what he would try and do. So I love that. The writers aren't pulling stuff randomly out of a hat.
Right, and it wouldn't raise Rebecca's suspicions right away because we know things that have to escalate before she actually confronts them. Mm-hmm. They're about to kiss when Sam barges through the office and he says, "Hey, I've got something important to say." It's like, "What is it?" Like, "We're out of vermouth." she's like, "We'll go order some." So fine. So they go back to take it from the top of the scene, and Woody's like, "Oh, golly!" when you kiss someone, it's scary. And it's like he does this whole thing, and they're about to kiss again, and boom, the door swings to Sam. He's like, "I got something important to say. I did order that vermouth." She's like, "Great, get out." And Carla actually says, "You got to play fair." And Rebecca's like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, nothing. And they're like, "We're rehearsing a play." Oh, Sam goes, "I love dramatic stuff. What is it? Tennessee Ernie Ford."
Ford.
Yeah, but when Carla says play fair, she's like almost giving the gag away. And Rebecca's like, "What do you mean by that?" She's like, "That's my opinion of the play so far. Play fair." It's like, play if it was better, I'd say play great. It's such a stupid thing. But so Rebecca and Will, they do the lines for the third time. And of course, the third time is the charm. They're about to come, they're about to kiss. Sam doesn't interrupt them. So Woody is in the clear, but Woody stops because he's Woody and he goes, "Wait a minute. I just ordered two cases of vermouth yesterday." He's like, "Sam is crazy." And he storms out of there.
It just,
and Becca's like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, it pops the balloon of that scene so perfectly. That might be, I got to decide before the end of the episode because I have options. That's one of my home runs too.
It's such like, and it's like, it's one of those things where you don't see it coming, but you should have. Because of Woody. It's like, it's one of those things that's just so brilliant in retrospect. Of course, that's what Woody would do. That's how he would respond. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the next, Sam gets Rebecca's attention, and then he has one of his girlfriends at the bar, his girlfriend Caroline, played by Carol Francis, who only had 6 acting credits, which included Remington Steele and the A-Team. This was actually her last role, according to IMDb. But he asks her, and she says she's in love with her boss, but she can't get him to notice her. Hey, this is, would be familiar to Rebecca. Sam says she should kiss him like this, and he gives her this long, deep, passionate kiss. And Caroline's like, wow, I'm sure he'll fall in love with me now. And Sam walks her out, kind of thanking her. And she's like, anything to get my disc man back. So Sam asks Rebecca, how are things going between her and her boss, Evan? And she kind of like walks away. And he's like, what happened there? And Fred's like, oh, she couldn't possibly have seen through your little morality play.
So, yeah, I love that, because it's so, whenever Sam puts one of his girlfriends up to any kind of trickery, you know, it's so fun. It gives you sort of a clue into how Sam is, you know, just the fact that, you know, all she wants is her player back.
Right, exactly. So it's at this point that Rebecca pulls Carla aside to ask her why the guys are desperate to kiss her. And like, Carla's like, ooh, somebody's full of herself today. And Rebecca like demands to know woman to woman. And Carla's like, why would I turn on my best friend? She's like, for Alba, for a paid day off. Carla tells her exactly. She's like, they have this bet. So Rebecca's like, why would they do such a juvenile asinine thing? And Carla's like, well, look at the contestants. So, and then here we have the other part that might well be my home run, because Rebecca comes in and Woody takes out a watch, a dangling pocket watch, and he tries to hypnotize her, or as a key. He's like, you're getting very sleepy, very sleepy. And Rebecca just watches him do this as he nods off. He's like, Woody, you're asleep. And his head just drops, and he is out cold. And she walks away, and Frasier has been witness to this, and he snaps his fingers, and Woody wakes up. And it's not just the fact that he wakes up, but he actually thinks that he's like, oh no, I made her disappear. He's like panicking, and when he turns around and he sees her at the other side of the bar, he's like, oh, he like grabs his chest and like takes the biggest sigh of relief. Thank God I didn't do anything terrible.
With his delivery, along with Kelsey Grammer's reaction, that is just a beautiful comedic moment.
Yeah, and Fraser's like, to recap, we've just sat here today and watched, among others, a man who is simple enough to hypnotize himself. And really, Fraser's like, I'd like to suggest that we have seen it all. Cut to Sam walking in the door in a full dress uniform. And Sam, he says he has joined the army because he's had a belly full of that Ayatollah guy. He's not fond of what's happening in the Persian Gulf, so he's off to Persia. So Rebecca acts like she wants to kiss him, but then she says no, she can't, after Kevin, her high school boyfriend, who went to the army and never wrote her again. And then she storms off, and this is like when Sam just gets mad that none of his tricks are working, and this is when he and Woody actually starts to fight, and Sam goes, he's tired of Woody's wholesome farm boy bit. He's like, you're not so dumb. And Woody goes, I resent that. And then he's like, you're just over the hill. And Woody goes, I'll tell you another thing. I'm thinking about not writing you when you're overseas.
Oh, please, that's another brilliant line.
So at this point, Rebecca pulls Sam aside and she tells him that she wants him to win the contest, and but it has to look like a natural kiss. And Sam, like, take the win in your mind, at least. He doesn't realize that it's a trick, but like, he can't just do that. He can't just accept that. He's like, a kiss? No, no, no. Somebody misled you. We're supposed to sleep together. That's the wager. It's just like, just, dude, Sam, what's wrong with you? She says, go home, change out that stupid outfit, come back, I'll be in my office and you can kiss me or something. And as he leaves, Sam's got a good little line as he's walking. He's like, oh, Woody, hang on, what's that on your lips? Oh, nobody. That's a stupid, it's a very childish thing, but I like that line. And then she pulls Woody aside and she kind of tells him the same thing. So we come back later that night. The bar is empty except for Carla cleaning up the dish, and Cliffy is alone at one of the on one of the stools reading a paper or something, or reading a book. And Cliffy says, Rebecca went to lie down. She was tired. He's like, she told me to wake her up. So Sam's like, that's my job. I'll do it. So Sam and Carla go into the office, leaving the lights off suspiciously, but they need that for the gag. So, and we just hear a kiss, and we hear the reactions of the guys kind of go, like as they realize something is wrong. The lights come on. Sam and Woody throw each other apart as far away from each other as they can out of the office as they realize they've been kissing, and the whole gang, Carla, Rebecca, Norman Cliff, and the tertiary bar guys, those three, have been watching and laughing from the back of their office. And it's just this great little reveal, this great moment. And Rebecca says it was a lousy trick, or Sam tells Rebecca this was a lousy trick. She's like, what about the way you've been behaving toward, like, trying to trick me the whole time? He's like, well, that was different. There was money involved.
Yeah, that's great. I love, you know, that there's so many different setups whenever the gang likes to play pranks on each other. I love how, you know, there's no particular loyalty from one person to another. They'll willingly turn on each other for any kind of prank.
Absolutely. And Rebecca leaves triumphantly saying, I am someone who cannot be used. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go drive Mr. Drake's valet to the airport. Oh, girl. And then the guy, everybody else is just kind of making fun of them. And Norm tells Sam and Woody to relax and stop being mad at each other. Go ahead and kiss and make up. And they throw a pillow at him. They're mad. He's like, don't forget, you both still owe me a big wet one. They're joking about it. And then once they're alone, Sam and Woody, they're kind of like, all right, cooler heads. Let's make up. Like, let's stop behaving, like competing like this. And Woody, yeah, because Woody's like, yeah, you're like a brother to me. And he's like, but can I ask you something guy to guy? And Sam's like, sure, what is it? He's like, how was I? And Sam gets uncomfortable. He's like, I don't want to compliment you or something. He's like, no, it's something you can't ask a girl. I was nervous, so my lips might have been a little dry. Well, again, going back to, you know, the episode, the boys in the bar in season one, Cheers would occasionally go into these moments. And I think later on, as the show got a little bit older in some of the last couple of seasons, they just stumble into like a few kind of, like in the 90s kind of gay panic type of moments. But I think at this point, at least they know that this is for laughs and it's funny and they can joke about this sort of thing. But I think we still see that homosexuality or just affection between men, or in this case, literally kissing, mm-hmm. It does make Sam uncomfortable, but it's not to a point where you don't still sympathize or empathize with him. It's not like, right. You know, in that season one episode, he was uncomfortable with it, but he didn't judge. He didn't turn his back on his friend. He still, in his own way, loved his old friend and was going to treat him right, even if he didn't understand or fully embrace that part of his lifestyle. And I think we're still kind of seeing that, like, yeah, he's like, okay, don't ask me to compliment you on how you kissed or give you notes on this. I never want to think about this again. That doesn't necessarily make Sam a homophobe or something like that. So I think they are able to thread that needle. Okay.
Yeah, totally. And I was thinking, you know, when, you know, the boys in the bar, you know, debuted, you know, we were very much at the beginning also, you know, of the AIDS crisis and everything. And so everything was in such hysteria. Now here we are, you know, six seasons later, and we're a little bit, you know, further along, and there was more sensitivity to things. And so, yeah, you can see things progressing as time moves on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And yeah, that's it. Again, just a hilarious episode, a great little setup, really, really fun. I'm trying to think if there were any other notes. I mean, it's just there. It's on its face. So it's such
it's a very
fun one.
Yeah, it's a very, you know, this is what I always feel like. I said it at the beginning of the episode. This is what it sort of very much is when Cheers, I feel, is at its best. It's when, you know, and there's, of course, several exceptions when they do leave the bar. But I think it's always best when it takes place totally in the bar. It's a simple premise and the whole cast can be involved somehow. And there's so much character work and so much character development happening. And I think this really does that. And it really also, by now, I think you really can see how Kirstie Alley is now really starting to fit in and finding her own place and sort of very much differentiating herself from the place that Shelley Long had for the first 5 years. And now, you know, we can embrace that, you know, this is still the same show, but a little bit of a different dynamic. And I think that this is one of those episodes that firmly entrenches that.
Right. And it's an episode where Rebecca can be a good foil and can be funny without resorting to like breaking down and crying and being the neurotic part of her character. Mm-hmm. But she's still a good, like, you know, a formidable adversary for Sam and Woody in this case, in the way she deals with them. She knows how to manage Carla at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, Carla's like, why would I take your side over my best friend? She's like, I'll give you a paid day off. She's like, okay, that's all it takes. She's like, okay.
Yeah, and her relationship with Carla is, because she can be an adversary to Carla, and then, you know, another episode she can be on the same team with Carla, and so, you know, that, that's how they kind of use Rebecca, I feel like, during the time. Like, she kind of, you know, the character kind of swings wherever the writers need her to go.
For Norm's tab, we got a big moment here. He had 5 beers this episode, which brings him up to 585 for the series.
Wow.
Now, season 5 ended with Norm having 484 beers on his tab, which means he has had more than 100 beers this season, and we still have one more episode.
Wow. But,
yeah. even though he's not up to 600 and we're at the end of 6, he has had clearly more than 100 beers this season.
And those are just the beers we've seen.
Yes, those are just the ones I'm counting. So kudos to Norm and his liver.
Absolutely, man. Yeah.
Yeah. For the employee of the week, mine was, I mean, again, everybody did a great. Sam was really, really great in this episode, but I felt it was head and shoulders Woody's episode to run with. Everything he did was gold, and he was very prominent in this one. What did you think?
Oh yeah, I kind of went back and forth. I thought, well, Ted Danson has some good moments in this too, but no, I think Woody is the MVP of this episode. Just has so many. He takes what could be so ridiculous by another actor. Woody Harrelson makes it totally believable.
He would get like all 3 of my home runs in this one, which would be like the distant runner up would be the very end when he's asking Sam, he's like, how was I? He's like, I was a little nervous, so my lips might have been dry. He's like, I'll tell you how you were. And like, as he's chasing Sam out, the runner up before that would be him actually hypnotizing himself and like his reaction when he sees Rebecca. He's like, oh, thank God. but yeah, the home run, it is that whole scene in the office from the reading of the lines of, oh, golly, and like the way he reads the dialogue to the point where it's like his like lips are like millimeters from Rebecca's. And he's like, wait a minute, I just ordered 2 cases of vermouth. He's like, oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about it, and I think, you know, since you mentioned that, my home run is the hypnosis. That whole section of, you know, him trying to hypnotize her, her turning the tables on him, Frasier snapping him out of it, and him thinking he made Rebecca disappear. That is, it's just perfect from beginning to end.
It was such like, and that's one of those things that you can like, you can see in isolation as just a classic example of like Woody. He would try to hypnotize somebody and put himself to sleep, and then when roused out of it, he would think something went terribly wrong.
Like, totally. Because it's, yeah, it just speaks to his, you know, it speaks to his naivete all around.
I mean, and to, yeah, Frasier just, he calls it, like, we just saw somebody so simple that he could hypnotize himself. Like, how is that possible?
Right.
Oh, Brandon, well, thank you very much for coming on the show and talking about this episode with me. It's always a lot of fun. Where else can our listeners find you if they want to hear more from you?
Yeah, so I host a show on the Front Row Network with NPR Illinois called Front Row Classics, and it is available wherever you find podcasts. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, anywhere, so just look up Front Row Classics Podcast. And then I also have started a bi-monthly podcast here with another friend of mine at NPR Illinois called Cinematic Horizons, and it is a Steven Spielberg fan cast, and we are going through the filmography of Steven Spielberg chronologically, and we release 2 of those episodes a month.
Very cool. What episode are you up to now?
We just finished 1941, so we just released that. Okay. So that's quite an experience. So you can look for next in the next week or so, Raiders of the Lost Ark. So that'll be the next one coming up.
Fantastic! Very exciting. Cool. All right. Well, again, thank you for being on the show. And thanks to all of you out there who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. This show is patronized by the Right On Network, and Jeff and Rick presents Unpacking the Power of the Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW podcasts to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we are closed.
Oh. Oh, golly. When you kiss someone for serious, it's kind of scary, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
Wait a minute. I just ordered 2 cases of vermouth yesterday. Sam's crazy.